The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
So, apparently, many Irish children may be overweight because they have to be driven everywhere. That, at least, has been reported as a comment of the Green Party Deputy Leader, Senator Roisin Garvey. We have a couple of other guests to join us in a moment, but let me start with you, Roisin Garvey. Tell us why you've said that, please.
Well, it's not the only reason that we have an issue with children being overweight, but it was an answer, a response to the question that a journalist had asked me about school transport, you know, and the traffic jams when schools go back. And I was making the point that because we haven't really designed outside schools or our towns or cities to enable children to walk any distance to school, and because we haven't done enough, that parents have no choice but to drive their kids because they don't have the confidence in safe infrastructure to allow them the independence I suppose we would have had as children.
Okay, but that's not the only reason children are overweight though, is it?
No, but I never said it was.
Okay.
I didn't say it was the only reason. I mean, I worked with kids for years. There's loads of reasons. There's diet, there's devices. You know, parents know themselves better than I do. And I suppose as a parent, it's a lot more. But I mean, it would be great if our children did have the option to move and walk and cycle more. It's not going to solve all the problems by any means. But I do know from working for 12 years with schools, it has been a challenge to even get pedestrian crossings or speed reductions and basic stuff we should have been doing for years that we're just starting to do now in the last few years because we got funding for active travel infrastructure through Ministry Eamon Ryan. But we're only at the tip of the iceberg there because for years we've just put cars first, not children, not people who can't drive or people who would like choices outside of the car. And I suppose I have a car myself. I've nothing against cars, but I do see the total traffic chaos that school transport causes every year. So in rural areas, you have a lot of kids getting buses, which is great. But I specifically was talking about urban environments, where if we made the infrastructure safer and the green man didn't disappear after 5 short seconds, that maybe parents would have more confidence in allowing their children to walk to school more.
OK, let's bring in other guests, and that's Roisin. I know you're down at the Ploughing Championships and a bit of noise in the background for you there, but Jen Hogan, parenting columnist with the Irish Times, what do you make of that from Senator Roisin Garvey? Being driven everywhere is not the only cause of children being overweight, but it is a contributor, and that we need to do more to actually encourage children to be able to walk or cycle to school.
I mean, yeah, I know we definitely need, obviously, to get our children more active, and you know, childhood obesity is much more complex than just eat less, move more. But we do need to also look at the environment in which we're raising children. And we don't have the same structures in place. This isn't just about infrastructure. It's about the fact that parents are often dropping children to schools and heading on maybe to work or to a childminder or another child being dropped somewhere else. It's not as simple as the old days where we were able to walk to school because our parents were at home. We lived within in close proximity to the school, and maybe you could walk with your mum to school because it was typically mums who were at home. And she walked home and things were completely different. Everything has changed now. And obviously, as a working mother myself, I think this is great that women are out in the workforce, but there is a consequence for it. And we continue to operate as if we have the same structures in place, and we definitely don't. Getting our kids active is much more than just walking to school. I mean, I was only writing this week or last week about a report from the ESRI talking about 230,000 children going without basic items and activities. And I spoke to parents about the sort of things that they were having to sacrifice. And some of those included activities, including sporting activities for their children that they just weren't able to afford. We have so much less time in the evenings now. We are such a time-poor society. We don't have the freedom in the afternoons. But years ago when I was growing up, your main activity, your main movement was playing outside. That's not as available to children anymore because often they're caught up in childcare, or there maybe a relative is taking care of them, but they're not in the same environment. There isn't a parent necessarily at home able to take care of them. And then that limited time that we do have in the evenings is often taken up with maybe something like homework or something else along those lines. So we've such a small window to get our children active that I think to simplify it and say if we just got our kids walking to school, that would be the solution. It's far from it. It would be nice. I don't think any parent wants to have to get stuck in rush hour traffic. Anybody who's stuck in traffic going to school, they have my sympathies. I'm very lucky. I live within walking distance of our school and my children are able to walk to school. But I realise what a blessing it is. Nobody is going into that situation unless they absolutely have to.
But Jen, I'll bet you that there are plenty of parents who do have their children living within walking distance of school who still decide to drive and drop their kids off.
There's probably some. There are probably some, yes. But I think the majority of them are going on somewhere afterwards. You know, there's very few now in comparison to years ago. who go back home afterwards and maybe heading on to work or heading on to drop another child elsewhere. I mean, logistically, trying to get out in the mornings and trying to get to work is a nightmare for most people. So I don't think the majority would deliberately drive into that traffic unless they absolutely had to.
But of course, when they do drive, they make it more dangerous for those who are walking or cycling, perhaps. Professor Donal O'Shea is with us, the HSE clinical lead on obesity. Is it possible, though, to outwalk or outrun a poor diet? No matter how much you might be walking or how far, if you're eating badly, will that burn off all the excess calories that have been taken on?
No. I mean, I think it's already been mentioned that eat less, move more is not how you manage obesity. But at a societal level, it is how you prevent obesity by having a healthy nutrition environment and an environment that encourages day-to-day activity where every movement counts. And we have at the moment the opposite, and that's driving an obesity problem in our children that tracks into adults. Last week, we had the publication for the first time of safe obesity treatment in 6 to 12-year-olds in the New England Journal of Medicine. Now, I don't think anybody wants to go that route of having to treat childhood obesity with medication from the age of 6. But when you're in an environment like we're in at the moment, you are faced with that problem, and it is important that we have treatments to deal with that problem. And I think each of the contributors have said it's a simplification to say it's the driving to school. It is a very complex problem. There's over 198 different independent drivers of obesity, and it's around sleep hygiene, it's around stress management, it's around physical activity, and the food and drinks industry promotion of products that are ultra processed. That's what 95% of their advertising budget goes on to young children.
And could it be as well that even the schools don't help unwittingly, but if they subscribe to things like state-provided hot dinners, that they could actually be giving food to children which is of limited nutritional value, perhaps better than nothing, but also perhaps increasing the likelihood of obesity?
Yeah, we know that ultra-processed offerings are on the menus for children with those hot school meals, and the advice is to be consumed in moderation. But if you have an ultra-processed offering on a menu, it's going to be chosen over the whole food option time and again, because that's the way the human brain is wired. And you've got to address that kind of thing head on before you roll it out nationally and find that you are unexpectedly contributing to the problem through a state-funded program.
With the best of intentions, Senator Roisin Garvey is deputy leader of the Green Party. Were you in agreement with this rolling out of further school dinners program when much of the food which may be supplied with the best of intentions actually is of limited or negative nutritional value?
Yeah, look, I'm glad we're having this whole debate, because I suppose my primary concern was the HSE figures are saying that a quarter of nine-year-olds are overweight. I didn't use the word obese, and it was in relation specifically to school traffic. So it is good that we're having a discussion about all the other things that play a part in kids being healthy. I worked 12 years full-time with parents and teachers and students in schools all over Clare, Limerick and Galway, and we did loads of questionnaires and loads of surveys with the children, with the parents, and one of the main issues the parents had is concern for letting their children walk independently, because sometimes it can actually save them time when they're on the rush to work if their child is old enough to walk independently, if they have faith in the safe infrastructure. And that's the point I was making around that. Around the food meals is a whole other kettle of fish, because it was rolled out really quickly. There hasn't been proper studies done on the nutritional value, the waste of packaging, because all these schools that I worked with and all these other schools trying to go green, and next thing they're given single-use packaging. So we have raised that as an issue as well. Look, it's a starting point. People who have no food and who are hungry will be very grateful for any food they can get. And the idea is that make sure that no children is hungry, and that is the positive thing. But of course, now that we've started, we do absolutely need to look at the nutritional value. We need to do the best by our children, giving them pedestrian crossings, giving them healthy food, taking the stress out of parents' lives, having to sit in traffic jams to get their kids to the school gate because they don't have confidence in footpaths or pedestrian crossings. It should not be a campaign to get a pedestrian crossing outside schools. It should be paramount mandatory that we should do. And the point I was making that we have been designing our infrastructure for cars for a long time, which is great and serves a purpose. But because we've been emphasising the cars being taken care of so much, it means the children are stuck in cars. And that's what I'd like to see changing.
Roisin, I have a degree of sympathy here. And as somebody who grew up and who cycled to primary school and secondary school, and it was safe enough to do so those many years ago, I never felt confident enough to allow my children to cycle to school. Simply too dangerous because so much traffic. And I'd love to see cycle lanes put in place and better pedestrian facilities, and hopefully it would all happen. But there is something else that does strike me, that for many children, primary school and secondary school, they simply don't have the facilities in school to play or to exercise. Would it not have been something that you should have been done in the lifetime of this government to actually put the facilities into every school to make it possible that at least for the very minimum an hour each week, and possibly more, that there would be compulsory physical education for every child? Because that would deal with obesity as well, or at least contributing to deal with it.
Oh, I tell you, if I was Minister for Education, I'd have PE for 2 hours a week, because it contributes to their mental health as well as their physical health. Let's not forget the levels of anxiety the young people are getting as well. Like, I've worked with schools for years. I was a teacher before. I've seen firsthand. I've seen urban schools with no play area. I mean, when I did that interview about the 9-year-olds, I also said it shouldn't be a campaign to have a playground. I had a big campaign to get a playground in my own local village. I can't seem to get land off the council to get one in Ennis Diamond. Like, we just don't seem to be putting kids first.
Okay, Jen Hogan, what about that? The lack of PE facilities, play facilities for children in primary school and also in secondary school?
Absolutely.
Oh, sorry, I think we're after losing Jen there. The line is breaking up. But can I put that to Donal O'Shea, because the line broke up in Jen Hogan? Would it help if we had more facilities for exercise in our schools?
It would, but I think we need to look beyond the school setting. Children's levels of physical activity drop at the weekend when they're out of the school setting and at home, and you would think that's a time when they maybe should be on the up. So we tend to look at the schools to solve the majority of our problems, and you know, it's an important part of the solution. But we have to look at outside of the school setting. So what is happening at weekends that our students are getting less active? Why do we have more secondary school girls driving themselves to school than cycle to school? I mean, there's something very wrong when you have that statistic and out there. And that's at least been the case for the last 10 years. So we need a very fundamental look at all the drivers of obesity, because obesity that starts in childhood becomes more extreme and more complex in adulthood, and it's already what's blocking our hospitals, trolleys and emergency departments with the chronic diseases that it's driving. And until you take that bigger, longer term view, and kind of put your eye on the big prize, which does include schools and better facilities in schools, but it also includes a philosophy throughout society that just encourages more activity at every level, at every age. Because, you know, what obesity does is it doesn't shorten your life. You live longer, but with more years of chronic disease, and the final few years are frail and involve strokes and falls, and that's the reality. And if you have a physically active environment throughout life, then you reduce frailty, you improve quality of life, and then you live longer and you die quickly is the goal, that you live for a very long time very well, and then your final illness is more rapid.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Thank you, Professor Donal O'Shea, HSC Clinical Lead in Obesity. Jen Hogan, unfortunately, we lost, Irish Times parenting columnist. And Senator Roisin Garvey, the Green Party deputy leader, who kicked this all off. Thank you for joining us from the Ploughing Championships. Your last word, 0874100102. We'll have Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown with us in just a little while, but we've something else to get to before that.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.